I'm going to ask you to just turn to two verses with me, if you will. First of all, in the Old Testament, the book of Ezra. I am going to correct what our dear brother said in his introduction. This is for the young and the not so young. You may be surprised, there may be a few little things along the way that you might be able to take and find some profit with and actually feel that God is speaking to you. So, first of all, Ezra chapter 8 and verse number 21. You know the background. Ezra has been granted permission by the king to return to Babylon to beautify the temple. And he is in verse 21, they are about to leave, and he says, Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. One other verse in the book of Ephesians, well known, Ephesians in chapter 5. And I will be very brief, leaving time for our brother Dan for his message tonight. Ephesians 5 and verse number 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now I trust God will bless the reading of these two portions of His Word to us. About 3 weeks ago, I received an email, and nothing special about me. It was really a circular email from a young man who serves the Lord in the land of Zambia. He resides in the hospital work at Chavuma. He recently was commended from Fredericton and from British Columbia, a young man named Samuel Simonigandeni. You may have heard, read, had some contact with him. But he was writing because he had just returned from a bicycle trip, because that's the way they had to travel, a bicycle trip to Angola. They are close to the Angolan border. And as he went from Zambia into Angola, they went by bicycle, he and two elders, to visit some scattered assemblies and some out-of-the-way places. I guess everything's out-of-the-way there. But anyway, some out-of-the-way places. He remarked that when we came to the border into Angola, everything changed. And he said, we became conscious of two great dangers as we went into the land of Angola. Now, those of you who are younger would have to know that Angola has gone through, in the past, I think it's over 30 years of civil war. So it's a devastated, almost demolished country. He said, because of the lack of human beings, the animals have just overgrown. And so he said, we had to beware as we bicycled along the path. We had to be aware of elephants and the danger of meeting an elephant. So in the dark, we would jingle our bells, something to cause noise so that we wouldn't come up silently against these huge monsters. But he said there was another danger. And he said, as we went along, there may have been very wide roads or paths for our bikes. But he said, we had to keep to a very narrow, well-worn stretch of road because there was another danger that we had to face. Angola has more landmines than people. Dangers unseen. Big elephants. You hardly ever miss the elephants. Sometimes you do. Sometimes we can have the elephant in the room and not recognize it, pretend it's not there. But for the most part, you can see elephants. But there are landmines on the way. And they're hard to see. And you got to stay on the path, or there's the possibility of damage. So when Ezra and that small group were about to make their way up to Jerusalem, they recognized there are dangers we face on the way, and we need to wait upon God, that God would give us a right way for us and for our little ones and for our substance. And then Paul adds in his New Testament language, similar sentiment, similar truth, that we might walk circumspectly, watching each and every step as we move. We need wisdom for the days in which we live. We need wisdom because many times we are walking in the dark and we cannot see the dangers that are around us. We need wisdom for the difficult. Everything is unfortunately not black and white. There are so many shades of gray, and parents struggle with it. Elders struggle with it. Certainly teenagers struggle with it. The shades of gray that we are faced with. And of course, the world parades the shades of gray to try to refute the black and the white. Since there are shades of gray, then neither, you know, there can't be these absolutes. We have to look at that this weekend. So we need wisdom for the dark, for the difficult, for the dangerous. We need wisdom as well for the decisions that we face. Decisions about what we will watch, where we will go, what we will do, how we will spend our money, how we will spend our time. All of these are issues that we need wisdom. And so Paul says to walk as those who are wise, not as the unwise. But we need as well a knowledge of God's will. And as we will look at some of these subjects, I hope that we can begin to communicate to young believers principles that will enable you to understand and to know the will of God. There are clear commands, what you would call no-brainers, things that are always right, things that are always wrong. And your mind can begin thinking of some of them, can't you? This is the will of God, even your sanctification. No need to pray, no need to struggle and grapple with this. Is it God's will that I should be holy? This is the will of God. So we have clear, unmistakable commands that tell us what is the will of God. But then we have to sometimes move to consistent principles. Because sometimes, well, it seems like it fits, but for example, is it right to take this job? Right to take that job? God wants me to work? That's a clear command. How do I understand then which particular way to go? And so we move beyond the clear commands to principles of God's Word that will guide us in those areas where we are given liberty for our movements. And then finally, the third thing that will help us to know God's will is to become more and more acquainted with the character of the God we have. Many times when Peter is writing and when Paul are writing, what they resort to, what they bring the believers to as they are faced with some problem they are addressing, isn't some great doctrinal statement of thou shalt not. They bring to bear upon the people of God the character of God. And so when Peter is writing to believers, he says, you should be holy. Why? Because God is holy. And if you call him Father, then you have to have a father-son relationship of likeness to your Father. So we are then led to those three things to know his will: clear commands, consistent principles, and the character of God. So then what should be the necessary willingness that marks me as I come to a weekend like this? I'm going to suggest two things. You recall, don't you, what James says, to receive with meekness the engrafted word. And Isaiah, in his wording in the Old Testament, reminds us, unto this man will I look, unto him that is a humble and contrite heart and that trembles at my word. And so this weekend, hopefully you have not come to sit in judgment on the preachers. That's a small matter. More importantly, you have not come to sit in judgment on the word of God, but rather to receive the word of God with a willingness to bow to its teaching. So there needs to be, first of all, a humility of heart. But then the Lord Jesus, when he was giving that parable relative to the seed, he reminds us of another necessary ingredient. While we use it in the gospel, and its main application is in the gospel, the truth still is applicable to us tonight as believers. The seed that bears fruit, he says in the Gospel of Luke, is that seed which falls into a ground that is characterized as an honest and a good heart. The Word of God will bear fruit if you are honest with it this weekend. And we can all find and create tremendous defenses when the Word of God begins to speak to us. We have ways of evading it. We are tremendous gold medalists at mental gymnastics, how to jump over Scripture and work around it. But if we have come this weekend with an honest heart, and if we have come with a humble attitude towards the Word of God, then God promises us that there will be, for each one of us this weekend, what we need. As Ezra and as Paul have told us, that we might walk in wisdom, that we might find a right way to move. And so we will look at morals, and we will look at the tremendous issue of peer pressure that young people face. We will look at the issues that surrounds you relative to the media in all of its forms, from what you look at and the internet and all of its potential for value, but also for vileness, and consider those and many other subjects. But as we approach each, it is the responsibility both of speaker and of hearers to come to God with an honest heart, with a humble heart that is willing to tremble at the word of God.